Congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ, children and young people make up for half the congregation here at Zion. And I have happily observed since my coming here in 2010 that our young people are an active young people, zealous for the cause of the Lord in many ways. And I thank the Lord for this as well. I see this weekend, so shortly after Pentecost, as a good reason to pay some special attention to our youth, the youth of the congregation. Not exclusively, so that our elderly can close their ears, but I do want to pay special attention to the youth this morning particularly. Some have just recently graduated from Sunday school, and some will make public confession of faith, the Lord willing, this afternoon. And at this point already, I want to congratulate all of you for coming through in such a wonderful and beautiful way. I want to speak to all of you. And as I said already, not exclusively to young people, but I do want to speak to all of you about the fear of the Lord this hour. The fear of the Lord. Now, we have read already from Psalm 34, a very well-known psalm, about some, and we heard some very stirring words there. In verse 9, for instance, "Oh, fear the Lord, you His saints, there is no want to those who fear Him." And then particularly verse 11, where we hear those words, "Come, you children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. You have therefore a strong, and I trust also a very pastoral appeal to all to fear the Lord." And it is my desire and my prayer to make this the message of this hour, an appeal for all of us to fear the Lord. But before I ask the probing question of whether you do fear the Lord God, we must examine what this is really all about. What does it mean to fear the Lord? And then I use our text as the basis and also as the theme for the message this hour. In the fear of the Lord is strong confidence. And we have it so wonderfully laid out in our text. And so the first thing that I want to discuss with you is give you an explanation of this fear. An explanation of this fear. Now, congregation, in the Hebrew, it is only two words. Yes, it's six words in English, but it's only two words in Hebrew. Berat Yahweh. The fear of the Lord. It is in the fear of the Lord. That's what it means. But what does it really mean, you might ask? What does it mean to fear the Lord? Well, when you hear this word fear, you automatically begin to think of how fear is interpreted in this day and age. It means to be afraid, it means to be scared, it means to be frightened. If you say, "I fear the darkness," well, we know what you mean. You're scared of the darkness. And when you say of someone going on a dangerous journey that you fear for his or her life, then you are afraid that he or she may get hurt or even killed. You're worried then. You are scared then. You fear. In today's terms, therefore, if you fear something or someone, it means that you are afraid or scared for yourself or for someone else. On the other hand, if you are a fearless person, well, it means that you are the man, so to speak. That you are not afraid of anything, you're not afraid of anyone. Fear, then, for today's understanding, conjures up the idea of being afraid, of being scared, of being frightened. Now, The question is, does our text mean to say then that it is a good thing to be afraid of the Lord, and that being afraid of the Lord gives you strong confidence? Is the person who fears the Lord someone who is scared of the Lord? No, not really. Not really at all. The term here, the fear of the Lord, has a totally different meaning. Certainly nothing negative whatsoever, like being scared or frightened. In fact, if you read the book of Proverbs closely, you will actually get the message that those who do not have the fear of the Lord, they are really the ones who should be scared and should be frightened. As you can read, for instance, in chapter 1, starting at verse 29, that they who do not choose the fear of the Lord will reap the fruits of their way till they be slain and destroyed. So therefore, you who do not fear the Lord, that's scary. That's scary. If you do not fear the Lord. Well then, what is it to fear the Lord? I have a very good definition from the late Dr. R.C. Sproul. And this is what he gave as a definition. The fear of the Lord is not a distrustful terror of God, but rather the reverent awe and worshipful response of faith to the God who reveals himself as Creator, Savior, and Judge. Let me just repeat it again. The fear of the Lord is not a distrustful terror of God, but rather the reverent awe and worshipful response of faith to the God who reveals himself as Creator, Savior, and Judge. You see, this is then the fear of the Lord described for us in a few words. And when you have this fear of the Lord, then you have loving reverence and respect for the Lord, for who He is, for what He stands for, and for what He does. You have a great awe for Him, whom you call and whom you can call my God and my Lord. When you have the fear of the Lord, dear people, then you stand on His side. Not on the side of evil, no, but on His side. In fact, when you have the fear of the Lord, you will say it just like it says in Proverbs 8 and verse 13, you will hate evil. You will hate evil. Now, let me ask you, and here's one of those probing questions that we have to ask ourselves at this point already. Are you, am I, one who knows the fear of the Lord? Are you standing on the Lord's side at this moment? The reason why I ask this is because there is no middle ground here, you see. There is no neutral ground, so to speak. Because if you are not on the Lord's side, you are against the Lord, you see. In fact, you could say you are on the devil's side. And the Lord Jesus himself once said, he who is not for me is against me. You see, in the matter of the fear of the Lord, there's no fence sitting. You are either for the Lord or you are against Him. You either have the fear of Him in you or you don't. There's no middle ground. And if you don't have the fear of the Lord, then the lack of it will sooner or later come to the surface and become evident. That worshipful response of faith that believers have will then be completely missing with you. then God's revelation of himself as creator, God's revelation of himself as savior or as judge doesn't do a thing for you. It doesn't move you. It gets no response of faith from you whatsoever. And then I may say that these may be telltale signs, you see, my friend, that you do not have the fear of the Lord. Remember again the definition that I've just quoted from R.C. Sproul. The fear of the Lord is not a distrustful terror of God, but rather the reverent awe and worshipful response of faith to the God who reveals himself as creator, savior, and judge. Well then, we might ask, what is the fear of the Lord? Perhaps we could compare, and let me give you a couple small examples that our boys and girls will also be able to understand. Perhaps we could compare the fear of the Lord to a healthy relationship a little child has with his father. When danger approaches, this little guy will stand there holding his father's hand and will half hidden behind father's leg, look up to father's face, confident that father will take care of things. Now, this is one way of describing the fear of the Lord. Or perhaps you may picture the fear of the Lord in the following way. I see a little girl walking hand in hand with her father. Deep in childlike conversation, full of questions. Daddy, what's this? Daddy, what's that? As if daddy has all the answers. And again, this is a real portrayal of the fear of the Lord. It is a childlike trust that says, my heavenly father has all the answers. All the answers. Now, boys and girls, I hope you have listened already carefully, and I hope that it is obvious to you that fearing the Lord does not mean to be scared or frightened or be afraid of the Lord God. Rather, it means to love him. It means to want to be close to him. It means to want to hold his hand if you could, to walk with him, to ask him all the questions that you might have, knowing that he has all the answers, all the answers. Now I ask you, boys and girls, wouldn't you want that sort of relationship with the Lord God? Wouldn't you want to be one who fears the Lord? Now, as your pastor, I really pray for that, boys and girls, young people, that is also true of you as well. That you can say, I have learned to fear the Lord. And so with all the biblical persuasion, I want to say also to you, from the words of Psalm 34, verse 11, come, you children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Young people, the book of Proverbs is a Bible book, I believe, is written especially for you and for those of your age. The book of Proverbs. Did you know this? The book of Proverbs is a precious book for young people. It's almost like the Holy Spirit had teenagers in mind when he inspired Solomon to write this book of Proverbs. Time and time again, he draws attention to what our text is really all about having the fear of the Lord. And this is meant especially, yes, especially for you young people. The fear of the Lord is, as it were, advertised in bright colors in this particular passage. The Holy Spirit, as it were, wants to sell you, so to speak, on the idea that the fear of the Lord is something very precious that you too must have. Because the fear of the Lord, you see, it is a unique relationship, and it is offered only by Him, the Lord God, and it is exclusively to be had in the Christian church alone. So I ask you, are you sold on it already? Are you sold on the need to have the fear of the Lord? Is the fear of the Lord not something that you would be interested in? You know, there's so much in this world and that is against it. And I have to warn against that as well. There is so much in this world in the first place that also concentrates on the youth, the young people. It seems necessary for the boys and for the girls, teenagers, young men and young women, that they are to be sold on this fad and that fad and this latest style and whatever else comes on the market, even this day yet. And this subtle and this subliminal line of advertising world says the following: if you don't have this and if you don't have that, then you're not cool, you are not with it, you are out of line. And then there's this so-called peer pressure as well, that almost forces you, wants to force you to do things that are in. Because if you are not in with the crowd, you will feel like a social outcast. Dear young people, the Holy Spirit tells you this hour something that is far, far more important than what the world can tell you. And that is, this is what you need. You need the fear of the Lord. And if you don't have that, then the world laughs. The devil laughs. And he will take you cackling all the way to your perishing. Now with the book of Proverbs and with our text, the Holy Spirit, you see, he is the powerful opposite of Satan. The Holy Spirit, he has a love, he has a desire, he also has a great power to persuade you that the fear of the Lord is something that you too must have. And the Holy Spirit, through the book of Proverbs, is busy selling you on the idea, you need this, you need this. And again I ask, are you sold on it already? Are you convinced? Again, the words of Psalm 34:11 ring out, and please hear the Holy Spirit speaking through these words when he says, come, you children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. And if you say, well, I don't know what it is yet, the Holy Spirit will teach you this. He will teach you. Now, this sort of teaching must be done, and it can be done most productively by saying something about the benefits of the fear of the Lord, as I want to speak of that in the second place. The benefits of the fear of the Lord. Now, the book of Proverbs, and I trust you know this book well, but the book of Proverbs speaks no less than 14 times about the fear of the Lord. With a bit of Bible study, with the help of a Bible concordance, and every good Bible student should have a good Bible concordance, by the way, but with a little bit of help from your Bible concordance, you will easily find those 14 occurrences where Proverbs speaks about the fear of the Lord and the benefits of such fear of the Lord. You will also very quickly discover then that what some of those benefits are, and that they are very good. For instance, let me give you some examples. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge and wisdom. We all need that, don't we? Knowledge and wisdom. In fact, it will give you the knowledge of God. Also, the fear of the Lord will prolong your days. Literally, it will add to your days. It will increase your lifetime. Another one here. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life. It makes you depart from evil. It makes you satisfied. It makes you content. It even brings you riches and honor if the Lord deems that that is good for you. Now, more examples could be given, but these are some of the great benefits, congregation, which are promised to you if you know what it means to fear the Lord. And just read and discover it for yourself. Now, all you need to do is open the book of Proverbs. Then I must also say that no, the Lord is not stingy towards those who fear Him. He is not stingy. He is very generous. He is very liberal in His gifts. We've read from Psalm 34 and verse 9, there is no want, there is no lack to them that fear Him. God will not withhold any good thing from those who fear Him. Those who fear the Lord will be able to say with Jacob of old, I lack nothing. I have everything. Now, isn't this already a great reason to fear the Lord, dear people? Boys and girls, young people, older ones amongst us. When you have the fear of the Lord, you are guaranteed to have everything that the Lord will deem to be good and beneficial for you. But that's not all, even. That's not all. Because our text also speaks of a special benefit for you who fear the Lord. And that's this. You find it in our text. You will have strong confidence. Or this could also be interpreted, you will have a strong ground of confidence. Some Bible versions even speak of a strong fortress. And all of that and more is quite correct. When you fear the Lord, you see, you live, as it were, in a strong fortress. You will have solid ground under your feet, and you will have strong confidence that you are protected by the Lord God Himself. You and I, we need that sort of protection. We need that sort of fortress. And we need to have that sort of confidence in that sort of protection, you see, as well. And why is that? Because this is because the world is after you, young people. The world is busy tempting you. The world is busy trying to seduce you with all its blatant advertisements to live the life of sin. The powers of darkness, they are after you, and they are very strong. The evil one is out to destroy, even if possible, every believer. Satan will come at times to you very powerfully. Sometimes he'll sneak around like a wolf in sheep's clothing, hoping to deceive you so that you too will fall into one of his traps of sin. At other times, Satan will go around like a roaring lion, seeking to devour you because you have been scared. He'll come and put you under stress of worldly peer pressure. He'll come with scare tactics to break you away from those old-fashioned religious practices which are not valid anymore today, as he would whisper in your ear. Or he would simply want to destroy you physically and mentally and psychologically through drugs or whatever else is being offered up so freely in this day and age. And how many of the youth have not already died because of an overdose of this, that, or the other thing? Oh, the devil is chuckling because he sees them ruined forever. The devil wants us to give up the Christian religion, young people. Be sure that you know what he means by it. But now, as one who fears the Lord God, you may place strong confidence in the Lord that He, God, will keep you safe. You may feel the attacks of the evil one, all right. But the Lord will not let you fall for it. The Lord will not let you allow you to succumb to such attacks. You may have full confidence that the Lord will keep you and guard you as you fear the Lord. In the fear of the Lord, there is strong confidence, so says our text. And people who have the fear of the Lord can be spiritually confident of the protection of the Lord. In fact, our text wants to convince us of this so much that in the second half of our text, it repeats the same idea again in a slightly different way. But it says there, and his children will have a place of refuge. It actually says in the original, the Lord will be a refuge for his children. Now, isn't this what we also have been able to sing with Psalm 46, verse 1, for instance? God is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in trouble. As you remember, those are the words that gave great encouragement to Martin Luther during the time of the Reformation. He was very courageous to stand up to the evils of the time, and he had great confidence that the Lord would hold him up. He had the Lord as his refuge, you see, and as a strong ground of confidence. He knew that the Lord would protect him. And there are people, I believe, this one is one of the great benefits of what it means to fear the Lord. It gives you and me confidence that the Lord is on our side. He's on our side. But now, let's go on, and I want to consider with you in the third place the object of this fear of the Lord. Who is it that you look to as you fear the Lord? Well, I trust it's quite obvious to all of us. In your fear of the Lord, you look to the Lord, that is, you look to the Lord Jesus Christ specifically. The Lord Jesus Christ is therefore to be the object of your fear. You are to look to Christ in order to have that strong confidence that the text speaks of here. You are to look to Him. Now I make a point of stressing this, because some people have struggles as Christians precisely about this. They have real struggles because they lack confidence, they lack certainty if the Lord is really their refuge. And the trouble is that they do not look to Christ as they should. They look to their fear of the Lord instead. And so they trouble themselves with all sorts of questions such as, do I fear the Lord enough? Do I have enough faith? Do I love the Lord enough? But this is the wrong way of going about it, you see. You don't look to your fear of the Lord, but you look to the Lord whom you fear. The object of your fear should be the Lord, you see. And the same goes for the faith. Some people are always looking at their faith, and they're asking themselves the question, have I enough faith? Is my faith strong enough? But again, this is the wrong way of looking at it. You see, a wise preacher once said, God does not ask you to have faith in your faith, but to have faith in His Son, Jesus Christ. The object which we should be looking at is therefore not our fear of the Lord, as much as we have talked about it, but our object should be the Lord Himself, whom we fear, Jesus Christ. And by looking to Him, you see, you will learn to fear Him more and more. You will grow in awe and in respect for Him, for who He is and what He has done for you. And by looking to Him, you will grow in the fear of the Lord and in the strength of your faith. Dear people, young and old, this is what I must strongly emphasize this hour, with the message on the fear of the Lord. if you realize the necessity to have this fear of the Lord, and I trust you have, and if a desire has been stirred in you by the word which the Holy Spirit has spoken to all of us this hour, then I trust that you will also long to have this fear of the Lord and to have it grow in you. But at the same time, then I must urge you to look to the Lord Jesus Christ and to look to Him with undivided attention. Look to me, He once said, look to me, all the ends of the earth, and you shall be saved. So you see, by looking to the Lord Jesus Christ, by looking in faith to Him, and by asking Him to be your Savior, you will be saved. And that is what brings on the fear of the Lord. Therefore, concentrate on that word. That word which reveals to you and to me the Lord Jesus Christ. His coming in the flesh and dwelling in humble surroundings. His lifelong manner of humility as He sought to do good to all whom He met up with. His deep humiliation as He humbled Himself even to death, to the death of the cross. His awesome resurrection, His powerful ascension, His majestic sitting on the throne in heaven presently to reign and to benefit His church. Therefore, let Jesus Christ, this marvelous Savior, and His saving work be the object of you looking, of your concentration. Let Him be the focus of your attention. Allow the word of this hour, therefore, to speak to you. Let it point you again to your need of the Savior. Let Jesus Christ be the grand object of your study. Let His peer pressure, let that affect you, my dear young friends. And as you come under His spell, and under the spell of all His saving activities, pray that He will grant you to learn more and more the joy of the fear of the Lord. Beloved brothers and sisters in the Lord, may I ask you, what does Jesus Christ mean to you? Is His name the name that you can call out even in the night time seasons of darkness and distress? The organist during the collection played from Psalm 42. Many of our people know Psalm 42. Even songs in the night. Do you know about them? Songs in the night, awaiting what He can do for you. Whatever may happen in your life, dear people, young and old, whether there be health or sickness, and we are reminded as congregation that one can become ill very quickly and be injured very quickly, even with cancer. Whatever happens, whether it is illness or health, whether it is poverty or prosperity, whether it is persecution or ongoing peace, the fear of the Lord and the love of the Lord Jesus Christ in your heart will take you through this world and on to the next, which is a glorious world, and will one day safely deliver you to heaven to be with the Lord. And isn't that where we all would want to be one day? Well, it is my prayer, and I trust it is your prayer as well, that He will grant you to look to His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, as the object of your fear, your faith, and your love, and that you may grow in confidence. you will then also experience the protection, the refuge, and the comfort that you need during this short time on this earth, this difficult time on this earth. As God's word, our text promises this, in the fear of the Lord, there is a strong ground of confidence, and His children will have a place of refuge. Amen.